May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, you didn't do badly on that hymn. Margaret told me they've never sung it before. Well, at least the choir sang it well. I said, but it's a good old harvest song, appropriate for Rogationtide. And she said, well, then we'll sing it again at harvest, so be warned. Once you've done it once, it becomes a tradition, remember. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. George Herbert was the quintessential English country parson. Born in 1593, he had advantages of wealth and education that propelled him in his 20s to a glittering career in Parliament. When he was 30, he abandoned politics to follow a call to ordination. His parish was the simple Norman chapel of St. Andrew's, Lower Bemerton. It is 7 miles west of Salisbury. The church is still there, and you can visit the rectory where he lived and see his study. Sadly, he died of tuberculosis when he was only 39. We know Herbert as a hymn writer. Two of his hymns are in our hymn book. Let all the world in every corner sing, My God and King, and teach me, my God and King, in all things thee to see. A third hymn, King of Glory, King of Peace, is in the 1982 hymn book. There are those who say of Herbert that he was England's finest devotional poet. His congregation, however, knew him in a very different way. They must have been aware of his brilliance, but they were country people who knew him simply as the priest who cared for each of them unfailingly. He brought them the sacraments when they were sick. Out of his own wealth, he provided food and clothing for everyone in his parish who had need. His people loved him dearly, and when he would ring the church bell, they would leave their ploughs and run to the church for the services, which he held twice every day. They did so love and reverence Mr. Herbert that they would let their plough rest when Mr. Herbert's saint's bell rang to prayers, that they might offer their devotions to God with him, and then would return to the plough. He was not just a kindly pastor, he was also a very wise priest. As is evidenced by a manual that he wrote for other clergymen who found themselves called to a rural parish. It's still available, and it's still read. It's called The Country Parson, His Character and Rule of Holy Life. Herbert's advice regarding Rogationtide, which we are celebrating today, is still frequently quoted. He took a very ancient tradition and promoted its spiritual lessons in a way that is very contemporary and completely relevant for us today. By Herbert's time, the celebration of Rogationtide had evolved into a day-long procession around the boundaries of the parish. It was led by the priest, and the whole congregation followed. Prayers were said to bless the crops that had just been planted, and willow markers were placed along the way to mark the boundaries of the parish. There were picnics, and there was plenty of ale that was enjoyed by all. It was a time when people who worked very hard simply to put food on the table could enjoy each other and being outside together. By Herbert's time, it had been celebrated that way for nearly 1,000 years. The Protestant reformers despised processions, and for a while they were suppressed. It took Queen Elizabeth's personal intervention to restore the processions of Rogationtide. But still in the 1630s, there remained an uneasy tension between those who favored them and those who wanted to see them gone. Herbert's advice to rural clergy was this: Rogation processions are an ancient custom. Country people love ancient customs. They are fundamentally harmless, and they can be a way to win people's hearts. So, he said, process. But as you process, do not neglect to use the processions as an opportunity to teach. The country parson is a lover of old customs if they are good and harmless, and rather, because country people are much addicted to them, their priest should favor them, thereby to win their heart. Herbert saw the lessons of Rogationtide as fourfold. First, as you process through the fields, you ask a blessing of God for the crops. In doing that, Herbert says, you acknowledge that there can be no successful harvest apart from God's blessing. That puts all our human efforts in perspective. There is nothing that human striving can accomplish unless God also blesses it. We've just sung, we plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the ground. Those are our efforts. But it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. Our initiatives are fruitless unless God feeds and waters. It's a humbling but necessary truth. It's a truth we must acknowledge. We so often presume to believe that our success is of our own making. It's not. If Rogationtide is there to teach the lesson of humility and dependence, as Herbert suggests, we moderns need to learn that lesson, certainly. In fact, we probably need to learn it even more than his 17th century congregation. The early 1630s in England saw a succession of crop failures. Those people were keenly aware that when they planted their seed, it would have to be blessed by God if it was to produce a good harvest. Our technological prowess tempts us to believe that we are in control of everything. And so the lesson for us on this Rogation Sunday is to resolve to ask more regularly for God's blessing on our daily lives, everything we attempt, and then to let God into our hours and our days. The second lesson that Herbert saw in Rogation Tide was the importance of justice. As you walked the boundaries of the parish, you marked the boundary with willow canes, and you took very special care to point out to the children of the parish the rocks or the trees or the streams that were adjacent to those canes that you have placed in the ground. You were ensuring that the next generation would also know the boundaries. There are famous stories that attend to a Rogation Tide that are of acolytes' heads being knocked against trees so they wouldn't forget where the boundary was. Boundaries are about justice. This land is my land, and that land is your land. There was no GPS in those days. Maps and legal deeds were very rudimentary. Justice was ensured when you walked the boundaries and agreed upon them, and when you did that on a regular basis. Even as far back as the days of the Old Testament, people knew that justice was essential. Justice had to be there if there was to be peace and prosperity and stability. That's why the people of the Old Testament prayed so fervently for a just king. And to strive for justice in every regard remains the church's duty. What else are we praying for when we say, "Thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven"? Unfortunately, injustice abounds. Rogation Sunday is an occasion to pray for justice and to resolve to work for it in our relationships, in our communities, in our nation, and among the nations of the earth. The third lesson that Herbert saw in Rogation Tide was the opportunity to build and restore relationships. He'd watched what happened when a group of people went on a long walk together. When the walk began, people would walk beside and converse with those they knew well. But as the day progressed, and almost imperceptibly, people would find themselves walking beside a stranger or someone with whom they had experienced a falling out. When I was in Sacramento, we always began the year for the middle school with a long hike in Tahoe. Many colleges make it a part of orientation for their incoming freshmen that they go on a long hike together. Herbert's words were that as the procession moved on through the day, people could walk lovingly and neighborly together. And doesn't the cry for that ring out in our society where conversation between people has become so difficult? Compulsory rogation-tide processions might be the answer to our awful partisan divides. Walk until you talk might be the order of the day. Not very long after Herbert wrote his manual and encouraged rogation processions, the English Civil War broke out. I'm confident that he was aware of building tensions, and he saw rogation tide offered an antidote. Finally, George Herbert says, rogation tide is about relieving the poor by a liberal distribution and largesse. When people walked around the parish in his procession, it was his responsibility as their priest to be sure that they did not do it with their eyes closed. The people of Bemerton were not rich merchants and bankers, and nor were the congregations of the rural parsons for whom Herbert wrote his manual. They were ordinary yeomen and poor villagers. They struggled for their living. Nevertheless, Herbert knew that in his parish there were many who were far worse off. There were orphans, there were widows, there were the sick, there were cripples, there were families where the breadwinner was in prison, and they could all benefit from the charitable gifts of their fellow villagers. The rogation procession gave him an opportunity to show the need and encourage a generous response to that need. And of course, it is no different today. We wouldn't have to walk very far from our church to see the need to which we have a duty to respond. But I have to give All Saints the credit for responding to need even without taking you on a long procession. The committee which decides how to use the proceeds from our auction met just over a week ago, and $57,000 will go to a variety of local organizations that help women and children in Thomasville. The acorn tree, which supports the campers at Camp Hope, lost most of its acorns last Sunday, thanks to you. And a steady stream of you have been coming to the parish hall over the past week, leaving checks in payment for those acorns. Thank you for that. As he concluded his advice for the country parson on rogation tide, Herbert said, in sum, labor to reduce your people to see God's hand in all things and ask for his grace and courage to work that his blessings might be shared among all his people, that all might bless and adore his holy name. He wrote that in 1632, and it is no less relevant 385 years later. Amen.